time to join Joan Lewis. EWTN's Bureau Chief here in Rome. She brings us the Vatican Week in review. Well, Joan, welcome back.
Another amazing week. I start my columns by saying another amazing week, but every week, every day, every morning seems to be that way with Pope Francis. There's the unexpected, there's the expected, and now, of course, ever since he's been Holy Father, we have his homilies, daily mass. You can't ignore those. Some amazing catechesis.
He keeps us on our toes with his
daily homilies. He really does, because these are homilies that are based on the day's readings and really part of our daily lives. He talks about thou shalt not gossip. He talks to priests and religious and saying authority means serving. He talked on, I think it was Thursday, about Christianity, the originality of Christianity, which is to be the salt of the earth. Every day of the week, there is a homily from the Holy Father. And then, of course, you have weekends like last Sunday and the vigil on Saturday for all the new ecclesia movements. Of course, Sunday was Pentecost. At a certain point, St. Peter's Square was flooded beyond telling, all the way down Via della Conciliazione, packed, or just straight across the street. When the Holy Father came in the white open jeep and was going around St. Peter's Square, and he goes down Via della Conciliazione, packed on both sides. He went down only about halfway, then there was a barrier across the street behind which people were, and it was so cute to see him because they started to turn the jeep around to go back to St. Peter's Square, and the people behind this barrier were, "No, Holy Father, come here." He got this grin on his face and kind of shrugged his shoulders, and his shoulders were saying, "Hey, it's not up to me." The joy he seems to have in being the Holy Father, his opportunities to be with us, to be with the faithful.
It's really the Pope and the people, isn't it?
It really is. He's the people's Pope. But Saturday at the vigil with all these ecclesial communities born, as many say, the gift of the Holy Spirit after Vatican Council II. So kind of their big feast day is always Pentecost. And we're talking communion and liberation in the focal neo-catechumenal way, to name some of the probably better known ones. But there were 250 different communities there and their leaders. But to watch the interaction between the faithful, not that they haven't always interacted, obviously, with other popes, with John Paul, with Benedict and so forth, but there seems to be an electric something or other that runs between the Pope and the people. If he's just looking out at the crowd, somehow you feel he's looking at you. And it may be a nanosecond, maybe it's true, but it was wonderful. And the Pope talks about having joy, and he did this at the vigil, which he celebrated. He came to the square about 5:30, and then a Sunday at Mass. But what he was telling these groups, and of course by extension to all of us, whether we belong to a movement or not, was to have joy in your faith. This is a word he uses a lot, but he lives it. You look at him and you see a very joyful pontiff. And he says, live your faith with fervor. Live it joyfully. But you know what, folks? Don't forget to pass it on. Don't forget to share it.
That's we're Pentecost, here. And then the rest of the week?
The rest of the week, we had a few things outside of the daily mass, the Wednesday audience, of course. He met the president of El Salvador during the week, and they talked about Archbishop Romero. And, of course, he and the Pope, I guess, discussed that as well as international crises and national things in his own country. And then, during the week, by the way, the Pope did on several occasions have prayers for the victims of the, I run out of adjectives to describe what happened in Oklahoma. I mean, to say horrendous and devastating and so forth, don't really seem to do it if you've seen any of the pictures. So he
remembered. Nightmare scenario.
Oh, yes. Nightmare scenario. Exactly. And He remembered them, mentioned them at one of his morning masses, Monday or Tuesday. And then at the Wednesday audience, he mentioned it at the again and did ask for prayers. He did send a telegram to the Bishop of Oklahoma City, too, so Bishop Oakley. So that was important. And then Wednesday at the audience, by the way, he still is talking on the creed, but he has now turned the church as it's presented, one holy, Catholic, and apostolic. So his weekly audience will be on the church, but he always links it to the Holy Spirit, whose big feast day, of course, was Sunday, was Pentecost. But Pope Francis asks us during the year not to forget the Holy Spirit. But also Wednesday at the audience, the Pope did mention Friday the 24th was dedicated to the liturgical memory of the Blessed Virgin Mary, help of Christians, and she is venerated with great devotion at the National Shrine of Shashan in Shanghai, China. And then did meet with Chinese lay people and priests on Friday at Mass at Santa Marta, including Archbishop Han, who is the only Chinese person in the Roman Curia as an official in the Roman Curia. He's at the Congregation for the Evangelization of Peoples.
He also received some garlands this week, didn't he?
Yes. Tuesday afternoon, Pope Francis went to the Dono di Maria. Just maybe 100 feet from the left-hand colonnade is this building that 25 years ago Pope John Paul made available to the missionary Sisters of Charity to feed the homeless. And so the Pope entered from inside the Vatican, because that's the main way inside the Vatican to get to the Dono di Maria. And the nuns greeted him and gave him a garland of flowers, which apparently is a symbol of greeting and friendship in the Hindu culture, which would be, we'd find in India, where, of course, Mother Teresa, Blessed Teresa of Calcutta, founded her order. So a very beautiful, touching afternoon. Again, the Holy Father just seems to rejoice in whomever he's with. Mm-hmm. In this case, the poor, the homeless, also obviously volunteers. Many of the missionaries, there was Cardinal Comastri, because he's the vicar for Vatican City of the Holy Father. So a very joyful event, a very beautiful, touching speech. And I don't know if our listeners know this, but you probably, if you're keeping up on Vatican affairs, you know that Pope Francis, often in a homily, certainly in his big public masses and meetings, he will give a talk and he'll say, now I'm going to focus on three things. And I don't know if our people know this, but this is a very Jesuit gesture to talk about something, to focus on a topic and look at it from three different angles, have three different things to look at. And he did the same thing Tuesday afternoon at the house. So, and by the way, speaking of vicars, of the vicar for Vatican City, we just mentioned Cardinal Comastri, the Pope also on Thursday confirmed Cardinal Vallini as his vicar for Rome. And so he was had been appointed in 2008 by Benedict XVI, but he's been reappointed. And, you know, our time, of course, flies by. But one thing we can't forget is the Pope's really beautiful meeting in St. Peter's, a prayer meeting and a profession of faith with all the bishops of Italy.
In St. Peter's Basilica.
In St. Peter's Basilica.
Which he pointed to as essential in the meeting, no?
Yes.
The fact of meeting.
He did, and he said the fact that we're all praying together at the tomb of Peter. And, you know, the first pope martyred right here in Rome, and he's the Bishop of Rome, and all of the Italian bishops have been meeting with the Holy Father on their Ad Limina visit. And he just spoke off the cuff, as he does, like, all the time. He spoke off the cuff. He had the bishops laughing, which is a very good thing. If you can bring a whole bunch of bishops together, you can bring a whole bunch of people together and make them laugh. It's very, very good. But he thanked them for their work and focused, as he always seems to do in talks to prelates, to priests, bishops, and so forth. He focused on their work as a ministry of serving, not something which will lead them up to a career. And
he does that consistently.
He certainly does. And he lives it. This is not a man who he talks the talk, he walks the walk. And so he's living what he's preaching. And That's our week in the Vatican.
Except,
I mean, amazing.
The Pope's announced that he was going to Assisi.
Oh, Assisi. How can we forget that? He's going to Assisi, and no surprise at all, on October 4th, the feast day of St. Francis. And that was announced by the Archbishop of that diocese
and the
Franciscans. And I guess the bells rang for like 15 minutes or something else, all the bells in Assisi.
They'll ring even more when he gets there.
Oh, yes. Well, you know, I had said in the early hours of his pontificate that one thing I felt we could, two things we could predict with Pope Francis were a visit to the Dono di Maria, which he did this week because of his love for the poor and underprivileged and marginalized, and obviously a visit
to Assisi
to see the tomb and pray at the tomb of the man whose name he took.
Thank you very much, Joan.
Well, God bless.
And you were listening there to Joan Lewis, EWTN's bureau chief here in Rome, who's just brought us the Vatican Week in review.